Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and blessed by the anointed Word of God. If you'd like more information about Apostolic Worship Center and its ministries, visit our website at www.awcnorman.com.
While you remain standing, we're going to the Word of the Lord. A familiar passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11. Reading a few verses there, and then we'll skip down to chapter 12. So I'm not going to read all of chapter 11, so take light there. But just four verses, we interrupt the story here where it talks about the heroes of faith. Chapter 11, you can go through and you can read all of the exploits of people in the Old Testament, from Moses to Noah to Abraham, all these people that kept the faith, but they didn't see the promise. They didn't see kingdom of God. And then Hebrews chapter 11 verse 39, it says, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Then in chapter 12 verse number 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set down before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." He said, now look here, you can look back and see all of these witnesses. But you know what? No matter what life brings, you can make it. No matter what the world throws at you, you can make it. No matter what the devil says or what society says, you can make it. It says, we're compassed with so great a crowd of witnesses. If they can do it, I can do it. If they can make it, I can make it. Because take heart, God will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be there with you. So just run. Just keep running. Just keep going. Just keep running. And I want to preach to you just for a few moments here this morning. Running on a cloudy day. Running on a cloudy day. Can we ask the Lord to help us right now? Lord, we love you. We thank you for your power and your promise. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We thank you for your presence that is in this place. Now, God, I want you to touch and I want you to move in this place this morning in the name of Jesus. We thank you, oh God, for all that you've done for us. We give you praise and glory in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, as a kid in my neighborhood, we had some, I can't even remember, and so for whatever reason, I look back and say, man, I'm glad I was young and was full of energy and just liked to run, but we ditched the bike and we just started running everywhere we wanted to go in the neighborhood. We didn't walk, we didn't ride a bike, we just ran. For about, I don't know why we did it, for about 6 months, we just ran everywhere. We'd run up and down the street, we'd run here, we'd just run just for fun. And I think about it now, and I'm like, man, I don't like that when Cohen was younger, we would take down the trash cans to the end of the street there, and he goes, come on, Dad, I want to race back. Well, I'll race you, son. I'm racing. Okay, I'm going to slow down a little bit for him, just let him catch up. I don't want to race him no more. I'll let you figure out why. I'll say, hang on, son, let me have a head start. Or I'll do something. I'll push him down and say, go, and then take off running without him because he's going to smoke me if I don't cheat or something. But this church in Hebrews was experiencing this deal. They had been running. They had this dedication. And when he writes to this church there in Jerusalem, the book of Hebrews was written to this church that was getting old and settling into the world and losing its wartime mentality. And he's starting to drift through life without focus, without vigilance, without energy. Their hands were growing weak and their knees were feeble. It was just easier to meander in the crowd of life than to run the marathon. The writer says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1, therefore we ought to give them more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? Now is not the time, nor the day, nor the hour. And he was telling it there in the Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. We ought to give heed to the earnest things which we have heard. Now is not the time to just push it to the side. Now is not the time to just take the step back and relax. But all of a sudden, so this church has corrupted and has the disease of drifting and neglecting the things of God. People begin to grow careless, spiritually lazy, and neglect for life. Hebrews 3 and 12 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are partakers of Christ if we behold our beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. Ladies and gentlemen, may I tell us this morning, now is not the time to be lazy. Now is not the time to sit on the sideline and watch life go by. But it's time to pick up the cross. It's time to keep running. It's time to keep going, because we've heard that saying. There are some that says we're taking care, and they don't have. They begin to get some kind of lazy sense of security, a false notion that nothing really huge. I can miss church here, or I can go here, or I can do this. I can participate in that. It doesn't really matter. Without ever saying, we become spiritually to say to God, we begin spiritually to say God has delayed His coming. We don't feel that urgency. We assume that all will be well. We assume that everything's going to be all right as long as I show up on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. As long as I show up when the doors open, you know what? It doesn't really matter what I do the rest of the time, because I've been in this thing for a long time. Or I just started out and I see, you know what? We just get spiritually lazy. They begin to drift through life. They begin this church there, and they begin to drift through life with no purpose or meaning. They can be blown around by every wind of doctrine. They're not really running. They're not really fighting. They're not really trying. They're just existing in their spiritual walk with God. They made a profession of faith and went into a passive, coasting state. And God desires every saint. God desires each and every one of us to keep moving forward. It is not His will, or it has ever been His design, for us to just sit down and sit by the sidelines spiritually and just say, you know what, I'm going to sit here and I'm just going to wait. I punched my ticket and I'm just waiting for the trumpet to sound. No, there's a lost and dying world out there that needs what you and I have. There's a lost and dying world out there that need what you and I have. There's someone out there that needs you to tell them, no matter what may come in life, you can make it. No matter what may comes down the path of road of life, you can make it. But they had, that church there had gotten so spiritually lazy, they just begin to sit there and they just begin to drift aimlessly through life. They become getters and not givers. They went from being taught that they need to be taught to teaching. But I've come this morning to remind us, we're not just here to take up space. We're not just here to suck up a little more oxygen out of the air. I'm not just here to coast, but I'm here to run the race. I'm here to run this race. I may not be able to run physically like I used to run, but you know what? I've got a determination in my mind that I'm going to run this race, and I'm not going to let anything pull me back. I'm not going to let anything hold me down from running this race. Just the other day, now I don't know why, if it was because we walked a lot in New York and Boston, and it kind of happened before then, I don't know why, but Neptali, my ankle started to hurt. I don't know why. Okay. And I can see some of y'all. I know what some of y'all are thinking, because my wife thought it. And I don't know if it's bad shoes, cheap shoes, because I won't spend money and buy good shoes. I just buy cheap shoes that are halfway comfortable. And because I'm rough on them, and I just go, and I know. And I don't walk as much as I used to, because my job now, I kind of sit behind a desk, and I'm messing a lot on computers. Before, I'd walk around all day and be on concrete, and so my ankles, and maybe I put on a few pounds here or there, so my ankles ain't used to, when I get on them and walk on them a lot, they ain't used to carrying a little extra weight, and they ain't used to walking as much as they used to, and they begin to hurt. And Christy kind of looked over at me and just smiled slightly and just kind of turned her head. You know, you might have that disease. What's that? You know, that OLD disease. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I just told her, no, my arches are falling. They're no good. I need to buy some good shoes with the arch support in them to help me out. I need this. I've decided, you know what, no, because every time I tell her something hurts, you know, John, you're just getting old. You just getting that OLD disease. You're just getting old. I don't know what to tell you. I refuse to believe it. And so I just decided I'm not going to tell her no more when I hurt. I'm just going to suffer in silence, and because I don't need to be reminded that I'm getting old. You know, I'm going to just suffer in silence. You know, but you know they say that getting old is not for the weak, and getting, you got to be tough to get old. And can I get an amen? I mean, some of we know. But let me tell you something. I'm not going to sit around hurting. I'm going to go to a doctor. I'm going to go figure out. I'm going to buy some good shoes. I'm going to buy something with better arch support. I might have to spend a little extra money because I don't want my ankles just to be hurting all the time. And the problem is, when we get into church, we recognize that something may be hurting. We recognize that something maybe somehow we let our physical overrun our spiritual, or physical realm overtake our spiritual realm, and we begin to say, "Well, you know, it's just this hurt and this pain I've dealt with. I've been in church long enough that this is going to come, this is going to happen. And you know what? I'm comfortable where I'm at with my walk with God. I'm comfortable sitting here on the sideline. I'm comfortable doing this. Yeah, there's some things I don't like, and there's something rather than getting the help you need, we just go along. We just kind of drift along. We just kind of go along through life, and we just sit there on a pew coming in on Sunday morning and Sunday night, Wednesday night, never getting that fervency, never getting that desire. But ladies and gentlemen, I've come here this morning to tell you, we need to keep running. We need to keep running. I know may not be able to run physically like I am, but I don't want to ever lose that desire inside my heart and inside my life. Well, I got to keep running. I got to keep running. I got to keep running. I can't stop. I can't stop running. I can't stop going where God wants me to go. Hebrews 12 and 12 say, "Wherefore lift up your hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight the paths for your feet, that least that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let them rather be healed." He said, just lift up your hands that have been hanging down. I know you've just been sitting there for a while, but lift your hands up and just say, you know what, I'm still running. I'm still here. Them feeble knees, I know spiritually, even physically, they may be hurting, but spiritually, I refuse to let my knees get feeble, and I'm going to run this race. I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm going to stand on my feeble knees. I'm going to let the world know, and I'm going to let Satan know, I'm running. I'm running. I'm running. Oh, can we give him a hand clap of praise? I'm running. That we need that spiritual healing, that spiritual regeneration in our thought process. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, "Let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us." It's easy to lay down what we think is sin. We look at it as, oh, it's anything that violates the word of God. It's easy. We can just lay that down. We can lay it down. But these things that come in life, these weights that come in, these things that might not be necessarily sin, but it pulls us back from the things of God. It pulls us away from the things of God. I got to be willing to lay it down because I'm running. I'm running. I'm running. I got to make it. I got to make it. I got to make it. You see, the point of the book of Hebrews is endurance, perseverance. Run, fight, be alert, be strengthened. Don't drift, don't neglect, don't be sluggish. Don't take your eternal security for granted. Fight the fight of faith, not by coasting through life, but by counting the cost. You see, we let these weights hold us down. We let these weights keep us from what God wants to do in our lives. We let the next drive for the next dollar rule our lives. We let things in our lives encumber us and prevent us from really going after the things of God because we've gotten so busy. We've gotten so, I've seen it in my own life. I'm going to be the first one to admit it. I've let things come in my life, and all of a sudden the day is through, and I get down, I take a shower, and I lay in bed. And I say, God, I don't even know if I even thought of you today throughout the day. I wake up in the morning, say a little prayer, and then the rest of the day is totally forgotten. Because I so become so encumbered with life, become so caught up with life. And we just use the excuse, well, I want my kids to to have better things than I do, and I want this to happen. But can I tell you today, as children's pastor of this church, and more than I want to see children grow up to be a millionaire, more than I want to see children grow up to be drafted by some professional team, more than I want to see your child become a productive member of society, and yes, I want them to see that, and yes, I want them to move out of your house before they're 40 and have a and be good, and I understand all that, but more than anything, I want them to have a spiritual walk with God. I want them to know at a young age, you know what, you can run this race. You can run this race because I got a cloud of witnesses that's saying, you know what, no matter what you may face, there's some people here at Apostolic Worship Center that says, you know what, as an 8-year-old boy or as an 8-year-old girl, I received the Holy Ghost. And if God can keep me this many years, He can keep you. I want them to know that they can run this race. I want them to have something in them like 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God and not of us. Because ladies and gentlemen, we had nothing to do with us. This, it's all because of Him. It's all because of Him. But you see, verse number 8, he says it there in chapter 4, verse number 8. He says, we are troubled on every side. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have problems. You're going to have difficulties. The devil's going to attack you. We may be troubled on every side, but he says, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. Because one thing I know, there may be troubles, but is there someone who can lift me out of it? There may be problems, but God is my help and my refuge. I may be cast down, but devil, you can't destroy me. I may be cast down, but you can't drop me out, because I'm running this race. They might not know how to get from here to there in life, but they want to know, if I put my trust in God, that's the only way I won't get out of it. I'm going to run this race. I'm going to run this race. So the main point of this text is an imperative one. Run, Naphtali. Just run this race. Everything else supports you. It don't stroll, don't meander, don't wander about aimlessly. Run this race with the finish line and with everything else that hanging on. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside every encumbrance. Lay aside the sin which does so easily behang. You see, we got to get some motivation. We got to get some motivation that drives us and that tells us why it's important we come to church, because there's something that motivates us when we walk into that house of the Lord. When we walk in those doors back there, it's not just some door that swings one way and not the other. It's not just but when I enter into His presence, when I enter into His gates, when I enter into the house of the Lord, there is presence there. There's something there that draws me. There's something there that gives me strength. There's something there that helps me. I got to come in and I got to run this race. Since we have this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us run. So the first motivation, we see this cloud of witnesses. Who are they and what does their witnessing mean? When you go back and look at verse or chapter number 11, we see Abel, we see Enoch, Noah, and Abraham, and Sarah, and Moses, and all those who suffered and died of whom the world was not worthy. I can't take time today, this morning, to go back and look at all their lives individually and let you know, but what does their witnessing refer to? What do they tell us there? In that word, the verb form word witness there means material. It's used 5 times in Hebrews chapter 11 in verses 2. It's used twice in verse 4 and 5 and verse 39. It's always giving a confirmation testimony rather than just watching a mere event. They're not just sitting there watching on the sideline, but they're telling their testimony. They're not just, oh yeah, you can make it. Good job, buddy, you can make it. I'm going to sit down over here on the sideline and just wait till you cross the finish line. I'm going to sit down, relax. You can do it, buddy. Yeah, you got it. You got it. But yet they're sitting there. They're telling us, you know what? I don't care what this world tells you. I don't care what happens. You can make it. You're able. God can give you strength. It doesn't matter what the world says. You can make it. You can make it. You can run this race. They've gathered along the sidelines. If you ever seen a picture of a marathon or a race, that Boston Marathon, when we was there, we seen where they run these thousands and thousands of people gathered on the sidewalks. And then as they come to the end, they've been running this race and they're getting tired. They're getting wore out. And it seems like they can't make it. And they're running. They're giving their last bit of gas. They're giving their little bit. But all of a sudden, the people there aren't sitting there golf clapping. No, but as they come down that last stretch, as they come down that deal, they're giving it everything they got. All of a sudden, there's a crowd of supporters. And they're, come on, they're cheering. They're lifting up their voice. They're clapping. They're shouting. They're lifting up their voice. Come on, you can make it. Come on, you can do it. You just got a little bit further. Keep going. Pick up one foot and throw down the next one. Come on, you can. I believe there ought to be some church that spiritually, when we see someone, hey, buddy, come on. I see the finish line right there, because I'm running on a cloud of witnesses. Come on, I'm running on a cloudy day. You know what? Come on, you can make it. You can make it. Come on, you can do it. Just put up one foot right in front of the other. You can make it. You got this. You got this. I may not be able to run as fast. Come on, keep running. You got it. I may slow down a little bit, but keep going. You got it. Come on, keep going. You got this. Come on, you can do it. You can make it. I know it. Life seems tough, but you can do it in the name of Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody, lift up your hands. Come on, you're running. It's a cloudy day, but you're running. But you're running. But you're running. You're not going to let the desire go by the wayside. You're not going to let that desire pull you back. You're running. Hallelujah. We see, we let these weights in our life pull us down and hold us back. We let these things, but I refuse to let these things in my life hold me back from what God wants me to do. I refuse to allow it to happen. I refuse. So when we look back, we don't want to become lethargic. We want to keep running. Abel, who is doing everything that he knows how to do. Abel is just doing what God commanded him to do. Make a sacrifice. Kill a spotless lamb for your sins, that your sins will be rolled back. Abel is just doing what God is asking to do. And all of a sudden, he's murdered by his brother. But he stands as a sacrifice, or he stands as a witness, saying, you know what? It doesn't matter what anybody else says. Just follow what God wants you to do. It doesn't matter what the world says. Just do what God wants you to do. You can run. You can make it. You're able to make it. Come on, just do it. I know the world may say it kind of crazy. I know the world may say it's kind of foolish. I know the world may say it doesn't matter what the world says, but I'm following after God. I'm following after what he, because I'm running this race. When Pastor told me about a month and a half ago that he wasn't going to be here this morning, at least he gave me a little bit of time to prepare, and I felt that God put this on me. And then the last two Sunday nights, he preached, what does it mean to be lost? And then this last Sunday night, what does it mean to be saved? Apostolic Worship Center. I think God is just trying to remind us, come on, we got to do everything possible. We can't afford to get lackadaisical in this last hour. We can't afford to miss heaven. You can't afford to miss heaven. We can't afford to miss what God wants to do in our life. We can't, because I'm going to keep running. I'm going to keep running. I'm going to keep running. Noah, you've been building a boat because you said it's going to rain. I started laughing when I read it. I said, we've been building a sanctuary. We've been planning to build a kid's Sunday school and a new fellowship hall for how long? I don't know. Hopefully it doesn't take 120 years.
We'll never see. I'll never see it done if that happens. Our kids might not ever see it. But you know what? He just said Noah didn't let anything deter him from what the world says. And they looked at him every day and they began to laugh at him. Rain, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm just going to keep building. I'm just going to keep building. I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep doing. I'm just going to keep, because God is bringing the rain. He's bringing revival. I don't know when it's going to happen. But you know what? I was honest. I was honest with Pastor the other day. And I just told him, I said, Pastor, I've been lazy. I'm going to just tell you, I've been lazy. Because I really haven't gone out and tried to work the bus route like I did before. Because I knew we was over here, and I knew that as soon as we would start tearing down walls and start tearing down, we'd have to find a spot for 40 and 50 and 60 kids, hopefully. Where are we going to put them? I don't know where we're going to put them. So I just kind of laid back. I just kind of sat back and I just go out and knock a few doors and, hey, don't forget we're coming by tomorrow. Just kind of got a little lazy. All of a sudden something happened. And I said, it doesn't matter. We'll just have to put them on this side and pastor just had to preach to them. It don't matter. I don't want to become lazy. So I began to just go out and, come on, kids, you got to come to church. You got to come to church. Now is not the time to get lazy. Now is not the time to put it on hold because the revival is here. It's going to happen. There's still going to be people baptized. Noah stands as a witness. It doesn't matter what people say. I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to reach him. I got to reach the lost. I got to reach him. Noah is on the sideline saying, keep running. Keep running. Keep running. Keep running. Abraham, who's the father of the faithful. We know the story. We know the story. Abraham, father of the faithful, friend of God, all that. He loses his faith in God. Now, I know no one here has ever lost their faith in God. But right here, I'm just being honest this morning. I've lost my faith in God a time or two. And I've questioned God. God, do you know what you're doing? God, do you know where I'm at? God, do you know what I'm facing? Do you know what I'm going through? Do you realize where I'm at? God, I'm just going to have to take over because you're not showing up. God, I'm going to have to do it because you're not doing it. But all of a sudden, Abraham is standing there on the sideline. No, just wait on God. Just wait on the promises of God. He sees you running. He sees you running the path of life. He says, come on, you can do it. Just keep running. Just keep running. I know it seems like God is not answering, but he's going to be there on time. I know it may seem like that God has delayed his coming, but he's going to be there. I know that God that answers is not answering, but God's going to answer in due time. All we got to do is just keep running. I'm just going to keep running. I'm just going to keep running because I'm going to run on a cloudy day where there's witnesses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joseph is betrayed by his own family. We see one of the greatest acts of forgiveness besides Jesus when he died on the cross for our sins. When you go and read the story of Joseph, who is like Jesus in the Old Testament, he forgives his brothers. He sells them into slavery. He gets it to where he goes, and Potiphar's wife lies about him. The men in prison forget about him. And then he's exalted to that place that God has prepared for him. And then his family don't even recognize him when he gets there. He said, I refuse to let the weights hold me back. I refuse to let feelings hold me back. I refuse to let hurts and pains hold me back. I refuse to let what people said yesterday hold me back. I refuse to let the problems of life that are there in front of my life, my eyes, and I can't see them. I felt rejected. I felt backstabbed. I felt things in my life that I didn't think anybody else can feel. But Joseph is standing there on the sidelines saying, come on, keep running. You can make it. You can make it. Oh, you can forgive him. You can help because God is with you. God is helping you. God is doing it. Just keep running. Just because family deserted you doesn't mean you don't keep running. Just because someone's lied about you doesn't mean you don't keep running. Just because someone doesn't recognize what God's doing in your life doesn't mean you quit running. Keep running. Keep running. Keep running. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. My feeble hands ain't what they used to be. My knees may not be what they used to be, but I'm running on a cloudy day. I'm running with a cloud of witnesses. I'm running. Hallelujah. 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 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, he talks about it, that there has been no rain. Elijah comes to King Ahab, and he says there's not going to be any rain. There's not going to be any rain for 3 years. There's no rain. It's dry. It's barren. There's nothing there. So finally, Elijah talks to him and says, okay, we've had enough. You get the prophets of Baal and make an altar. Go up to Mount Carmel. We're going to see whose God answers by fire. We're going to see who he answers. So we get up there, and Elijah sitting there on the sideline just watching. The prophets of Baal build their little altar. They begin to pray to Baal. They begin to dance around. They begin to jump up on the altar. They begin, and Elijah's kind of sitting there making fun of them. Yeah, why don't you yell a little bit louder? Maybe he's asleep. He didn't say this, but, you know, if it was our vernacular, if it was that day, hey, Mojo Yellow, maybe he's on the phone. They didn't have phones back then. Hey, try to look him up on social media. Maybe if you follow him, maybe he'll follow you back. Look on his Instagram. Look. And Elijah's just there making fun of him. He says, finally, he just says, clear the table. He destroys their altar. He takes it down. He builds an altar. He digs a trench. He places a sacrifice on there. He prays a simple 59-word prayer, and the fire from heaven falls. Hits that altar. Licks up the sacrifice. Licks up the water. Licks up everything else. And they know whose God is God. And that's where we stay, or we want to stay, most of the time. All of a sudden, the prophets, Israel realized who was God's was who. And they go and destroy the prophets of Baal. And then Elijah says, are you ready for the rain? Are you ready for the rain? So he goes and he begins to pray. He begins to pray. He gets down. I don't know what his prayer was. He begins to pray. He says, okay, God, you see this revival we've had. You see what you've done. God, we need the rain. We need the rain. He tells a servant to go and check. He goes and checks, and he says, Elijah, there's nothing there. He says, Elijah, there's nothing there. And so he goes to praise again. God, come on, we need the rain. We need the rain. We need the rain. I told these prophets, I told the children of Israel, God, that you're going to show up, that you're going to answer. You showed the answer, but God, I need you to pour it out. God, I need you to rain. Go back and check. He goes back and checks. Nothing there, Elijah. He goes back, and the Bible says in First Kings chapter 10 and 44, and it came to pass on the seventh time. He kept going and going, and seven times. Now, I don't know about you, but about that fourth time, God, let me tell you something. You know, I stuck out on a limb for you, and I stepped out in faith for you, and you're leaving me high and dry. It's dry enough around here. We need some rain. Go back and pray again. Now, God, this is the fifth time. I don't know what you're trying to do, and I don't know what you're trying to. But all of a sudden, Elijah said, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep running. I want to keep doing it. And all of a sudden, that seventh time, Dallas, that servant come back and said, I see a cloud in heaven about the size of a man's hand. I don't know where he was at. I don't know how far it was. But if I see a cloud the size of a man's hand, I'm not going to get excited about it. I'm not going to say, whoa, that looks like a tornado. That looks like some clouds where severe weather could happen. Oh, man, I know we live in Oklahoma. We know what clouds with severe weather look like. But this servant said, oh, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah, oh, all of a sudden, girded himself up. In verse number 46, he said, and the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, and he girded his loins, and he ran before Ahab in the entrance of Jezreel. And when Elijah saw the cloud, When Elijah saw the cloud, you know what he started to do? He started running. I see the cloud. I see the cloud. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. God's going to answer. God's going to help. God's going to be there. That's why it's so important that we just lift up our hands when we get into a sanctuary. That's why it's so important that we stand up and lift up the name of Jesus. That's why it's so, because there's someone over here that's been praying, that's been looking. And all of a sudden, they can look across the aisle and they can say, I see a cloud. I see a witness. I see a cloud. I'm going to run. I'm going to run. I'm going to run. Oh, come on, somebody. Clap your hands. Come on, I want you to stand to your feet right now. I want you to stand to your feet. Somebody just begin to lift up the name of Jesus. Go on, somebody just begin. I got a cloud of witnesses. I got a cloud of witnesses. I can make it. It doesn't matter what the world says. I can make it. It doesn't matter how long I've been down and out. I can make it. You see, remain standing. You see, he said, after the fifth or sixth time, he could have gotten discouraged. He could have thrown in the towel. But he had some determination in his heart. He says, God is bringing the rain. I want to tell someone here this morning, as you look around, somebody just look around. Somebody just look around. What you're seeing? You're seeing a cloud of witnesses. You're seeing a cloud of witnesses. Now is not the time to stop running. Because you know what? Brother Warren, if you can make it, I can make it. Brother Peters, if you can make it, I can make it. Brother Smith, if you can make it, I can make it. Yeah, I got a cloud of witnesses. Brother Fuller, it may not always look pretty, but if you can make it, I can make it. I got a cloud. So you know what I'm going to do? I may not be able to run physically, but I got some determination in my heart. I got some determination in my line. I'm going to keep running. I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to throw in the towel. It doesn't matter if you answered once after the first time or after the seventh time. God, I want to keep praying. I want to keep going. I want to keep going because I'm running on a cloudy day. Oh, somebody lift up your voice and your hands one more time and just exalt him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can go down the list. You can go down the list of Abel. You can go down the list of Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Joseph, Jacob, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barry, David, Samuel. All these have retained a good report through faith. Received not the promise. All these are the heroes of the cloud of witnesses. But they've never experienced what you and I have experienced. And that's the power of the Holy Ghost living inside of them. That's the power of the Holy Ghost living inside of them. See, now is not the time for our desires to grow weak. Now is not the time for us as Christians to let spiritually be quenched. Don't lose your focus. Be vigilant. Someone has questioned the faithfulness of God. But I believe there's a cloud of witnesses here this morning that says God is still faithful. Someone's questioned whether or not God knows right where they're at. But I see a cloud of witnesses here this morning saying, I know God knows right where you're at. God knows what you're going through. Some people have experienced hurts and pains that they don't want to let nobody know about. Can I tell you this morning, there's some witnesses here. So I want to keep running. I want to keep running. I want to keep running. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm opening up these altars this morning. You're going to say, God, I got a determination in my life. I want to keep running. I want to keep going after the things of you. God, I don't want to ever become lackadaisical. I don't want to ever become where I get so just where I'm sitting on the sideline. But God, I want to dedicate it to you. I want to give it my all. I want to sell out. God, because there's a cloud of witnesses that I go running. That God, there's going to do great, mighty things. Come on in. I know I have hurt, but there's a cloud of witnesses. I know I've been pain. But God, there's a cloud of witnesses that can do it. I wonder if one more time we can just lift up our hands and just worship him. Come on, somebody. Come on there. I'm a witness. I'm running on a cloudy day. Come on, I'm not going to lose my passion. I'm not going to lose my determination. Hallelujah.
You have been listening to an audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center located in Norman, Oklahoma. We are located at 3221 North Porter Avenue, Norman, Oklahoma, 73071. Our service times are Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., and we also have various ministries happening on Wednesday night. For more information, visit our website, www.awcnorman.com. You can call us at 405-329-1285 or email us at info@awcnorman.com. We hope that this recording has been a blessing to you.